പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമ രാധാപണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പോധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ഹേമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോൾ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശിശി ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ഹീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാദാ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സബലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തിപാദയോത്സവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുക്ഷദേവേശാനാദസ്തം നോ യത്പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യാ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനത്തം നമാമി ഹരിം വരം ജന്മാദ്യസേതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷു വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയം തേജോപാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഭുഗം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോചിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ ധർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാമുനിഗൃതേ കിംബാവരൈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കഥവി ശുശ്രൂഷു വീത്രക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം പരം സുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം വിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോരസിയാ ഭൂവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവി താപത്രയവിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവചന്തമനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാശുഭാവ പുത്രേതിരന്മയതയത്തരോഭിനേതൂതം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രീസാരവേകമധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജയനരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തഥോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയകിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തി കളവേണുപ്പണിതാദൃതാനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നക്കണികാവികാവികാവി നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശായാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിപുനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാദാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാവേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മവാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം മംഗം ലംഘരിതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാതായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാമധീ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ മം ബത്വാ മനസ്സന്തദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദോഗാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവൽ സസുധീർഭോക്തം ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗൽഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ചേദ്രനികല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമ വികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്വരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥകന്ധൂൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈസജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്തുന്യുന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർക്രമൌഷധൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥ തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദു സുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം
ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
We saw yesterday, Drishtva 31 verse, Drishtva Nistejasam Kamam Saganam Bhagavan Swaraj Shrutva Anubhavam Brahmarshaya Visnayam Samagal Param. That Bhavam, what happens is that emotions are coming, but Shrutva Anubhavam Brahmarshir Vismayam Samagatparam. Sri Suda Goswami says there that Indra and the Kamadeva and all the other Apsaras women and all that, they have notice that Markandeya Maharshi had were not angry with them. This made them to think that even though they gave trouble to him to disturb his tapasya and try to annoy him, still, not even a slightest trace of ahankaram inside came up in Markandeya Maharshi. This has made Indra to think, well, how is that he was able to control himself to such an extent? Indra's ideas were not very good, was not a very coming from a good situation. So, there is because being connected with Krishna always, this quality will come to a person. That means, Veda Bhavana will go from inside. If you are always with Krishna, that means, in our Smarana is good, then Veda Bhavana will go. So, no one in any way, even in a very bad way, whichever way one deals with us, still, and even if due to our purva vasana, may bring us into a situation where we were likely to react to others, and even if the mind tried to mislead us, and mind also, because of the vasanas stored up there from previous lifetimes, it may create situations which will force us to react to others in a strong way. But if you keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and personalities like Markandeya Rishi and others, what it does to us is that gradually our nature will also change. That is the benefit of hearing about all these stories about the rishis. they will teach us by their control of the mind, and being remaining with Krishna gives this benefit to them. You can see how Markandeya Maharshi controlled his mind. Tapasya swadhyayam brihat vratadhara, it said before. So that brihat vratam and tapasya swadhyayam, all these things, has made him a person to think much higher level, not to react to any situation, tidiksha to the highest extent. And also, you can see that even though situations unfavorable can come in life, like in this case, Indra, Kamadeva, Apsaras women, Gandharvas, all came together to disturb his peace, agitate his mind, and destroy his penances and austerities. In spite of that, he succeeded in standing up to that, and was not disturbed at all, and remained very calm, and not reacting strongly to them. This has actually surprised Indra. Indra was totally taken away by the behavior of Markandeya Maharshi. And you can see this is the benefit of that. That if we associate with them, Markandeya Maharshi and personalities like that, from their swabhavam, their nature, slowly will influence us as well. For example, studying a little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice yourself that after hearing Bhagavatam for some time, you will also become a little mellow down. That means, like before, you won't get angry very easily. And so that's one thing, that anger will subside. And similarly, in the past you were very particular about many, many things. And now all that's gone. That feeling that you need, you feel very obstinate about many, many things, that obstinacy in us will go. Just like previously people will say, I should have all these things for my prasadam. If I don't have it, I'm not eating it. I need. I'm particular about that. That in this way, you feel a necessity that without that you couldn't live in this world. But that will go. Gradually that will also go. Even if you get a little bit of khichdi, you'll be satisfied with that. That's what's required. Because all the things like beauty, wealth, education, all these things, at one time we thought in life they are all important things, isn't it? At one time in life, people gave importance to all these things in our own life. Beauty, wealth, education and things like that. But that will go after a while. So previously, when you looked upon people, how they are dressed, how beautiful they looked, and how their etiquette and manners and things like that, that's what you were taking notice of before. But, and similarly, when you see a very poor person, you don't feel very much about him, thinking that the man is very poor, he doesn't know how to make money, and he is not educated. In this way, you are measuring people with that things in your mind. That means there was a lot of bedabuddhi inside. That's what it means. Now, with Krishna consciousness and being in association with the rishis, that goes away. That goes away. Because, like Markandeya Maharshi, he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. If we also develop a similar consciousness in us, we will also become like that, like Markandeya Maharshi's nature. And what happens then? Then when you see people, this kind of ragadvesham, vigaram, will not come up in our own mind. So, and thinking about them, and thinking that you may also become like that, there is no fear about that. Because our mind is a very complex phenomenon, that the way it operates is, according to the vasanas and samskaram inside, it creates ragadvesham in the world. When it sees others, it measures everybody. The mind measures everyone. And it makes a judgment based on our vasana inside, how we see other people. And with this understanding, what happens is that the fear goes away, and because of that Veda Bhavana, Veda Buddhi goes from inside, you will be more peaceful than before. You won't look at people as big and small, and also you won't look at life anymore in terms of happiness and distress. That also will go. And you won't have the fear of thinking about tomorrow. Similarly, the fear about the death also will gradually leave us. And all these different vedam, differences, what you have even initially built up inside, that will also go. So, and even though in present moment those things are present in the mind, many vasanas which were inside from previous times, till it is fully destroyed, they will come back and again give you trouble. They will come back and again give you trouble. How? Previously, when you were getting angry, when you get angry, the mind will take you there and it will test you whether you can survive that or not. And previously, whenever you are enjoying any sense object through any of the senses, that you are very attached to that enjoyment, particularly asakti, they call it. And it may again come back, those situations, and it will test you again whether that same asakti is coming out like the way it used to come before. Nobody can say anything. Everyone, when they go in their path, in their life, that like the Indra, Indra will test us that different sense objects, how Indra is the controller of all the, they are present, all the demigods are present in our senses, and they can come and look at our, even though Bhagavadam has somewhat influenced us, but still because of the previous vasanas inside, the Adhishtadra Devata, Indra and others are the Adhishtadra Devata of the different senses, they will again drag us into sense enjoyment to see if we still have that same vasana or not. So, here we say Kamadeva has come, Cupid has come. What that means is, Kama means desire. That Kamam is a representation of our obstinate nature. Means that I'm particular that I should have something. That intense desire inside. Kamana means desire, moham. So, one starts feeling that I'm happy at the moment, I lose that, and I feel that I want to be something else. Right now, everything is okay, but still, desires come and make you feel that you need something else to become happy. Even though you are okay at the moment. Often it is like that, isn't it? In a normal life, we are supposed to be happy wherever we are, in whichever situation we are, we should be happy. That is Shanti state. But even in that Shanti state, still thoughts come and say, I should have something else to become happy. This is the Maya. This is how Maya works. Normally, whatever situation we have been put in this world, with the body, with the mind, and the world, one should be able to live in peace with that. But because of the vasanas inside, and sometimes this can happen that I'm still not happy, I need something else to become happy, and we start working on that. So, and start feeling that I'm desiring for happiness. So, at that time, different sense objects that comes in front of us, we will start feeling there is happiness in that one. At the moment I am not happy, but if I do this or if I get that, I will be happy. This feeling. This is all the symptoms of Maya operating in us. Maya Darshanam is the chapter what we are discussing. In the flow of time which we talked about yesterday, Krishna has the complete control of time. And in that cycle, time cycle, we have been crushed like this. We are being crushed like that. Durvaram, Dvadasharam, Trishada Parimilal, Shashti Parvabhivedam, Sambhramil, Krura Vegam, Shanamanajagadam, Chinta Sandhavamanam, Chakram, Te, Kalarupam. That Kalam, time personified, will Krishna can turn forwards and backwards. In several incidents in the Bhagavadam, you will find Krishna forward, making the time to go forward. And in like in case of Markandeya's Maya Darshanam, when Markandeya is experiencing Maya, Krishna made Markandeya to feel 6 minutes time. Imagine what a life, long lifespan that is, long time that is in our calculations. 6 minutes time, Markandeya was swimming in the water, which means Krishna is doing forward the time. When in the 10th canto you will find this story, Devaki Devi wanted to, one day, Vasudeva and Devaki and the rishis, they were all present in the in the Samanta Panchakam, in the solar eclipse time. Krishna came in, and the rishis, they all offered obeisances to Krishna. And Vasudeva and Devaki saw that, all the great rishis coming and offering obeisances to Krishna. Krishna a little bit showed embarrassment, and then goes and offers obeisances to Vasudeva. Vasudeva didn't thought that it's my son offering obeisances to the father. He took it like that. Rishis came and offered obeisances to Krishna. Krishna goes and offers obeisances to Vasudeva. Devaki Devi was standing next to that. She moved away from there. She didn't stay. And then Krishna goes to Devaki Devi, because it's normal that one offers obeisances to mother even before the father. The higher debt is towards mother more than the father. So Krishna, when he tried to offer obeisances to Devaki Devi, she moved away from there, because all the rishis were coming and offering obeisances to Krishna. And Devaki Devi was a bit confused about his relationship with Krishna. So she moved away from there. Krishna offered obeisances to Vasudeva. At that point, when Krishna went to Devaki Devi, and Devaki Devi addresses Krishna in a Yogeshwara Jagadisha in that way and says to him, I had 6 children before you who were killed by my brother Kamsa. Is it possible to see them? We are talking about 100 years have gone since the incident. And now Devaki wants to see them. What did Krishna do? Krishna went to Sudalam and turned this wheel backwards. These people who had left this body, the six boys who had left the body and gone, by now you would have expected them to be in another place, in another body, with another... So many years have gone since then. But what did Krishna do? Krishna turned the clock backwards. He brought them back in the same way when they were killed by Kamsa, in the same situation, and made Devaki Devi also to feel like a mother who was at that time when the children left her. That means Krishna can turn the wheel backwards and forwards as and when he wants. These are amazing things in the Bhagavadam to show to us that time, what we think today, is Maya. Time is Maya actually. That we have no concept about that, because we got so used to this thing called the time. And we are thinking that everything works according to the time. Our calculations are all based on the time. All the scientific discoveries are based on time. So many things based on time. And in this process of technology and science, where time is a big factor, we all get used to it so much that we get convinced ourselves that everything works based on the time. It is not. That is what Bhagavatam is opening up our mind to think like this. Rishis knows this. Krishna knows that. Devaki didn't know this. Can you imagine children who died 100 years ago, Krishna goes and brings them back in the same form when they left. And Devaki also feels like a mother to them at that time. And their breast milk started coming from her. And she feeds the milk to those children. This is, Devaki Devi has gone very old by now. But she has got back that youth again, like a young mother. And she starts feeding these children, six children. Krishna had a higher plan. Krishna was saying, if they take this breast milk from Devaki, it is prasadam. Because Krishna has taken her breast milk, Devaki's milk. So, Krishna's leftover, that is, in that sense. So, let that babies all take that prasadam and let them go back to the spiritual world. In this way, they brought back from Sudalam, they were fed with Krishna's prasadam. Devaki Devi felt just like a mother at that time when these children left her when Kamsa killed them at that time. And she feeds them all very happily and felt satisfied. What does that mean? The time clock, Krishna has turned it back. So turning the time forward, backward, all these things is Kalasurupi, Krishna. Krishna's hands, that is. We must notice all these things because we get otherwise totally carried away by this concept of time. So that's what it is. So here you can see that the Indra came and then Kamadeva came. Kamana means moham, desires, right? And this desire that I'm not happy at the moment, I need something else. I need to do something else to become happy. If this thought is coming inside, it's Maya. In our own present state, if I'm not happy with this situation, wherever one is, and to be, if proper knowledge is there inside, you will feel satisfied with that. You don't need something else to make happy. But if that desire is coming inside, if I have something else, I'll become happy. If I do something else, I'll become happy. That's Maya. That's Maya. So, and that is because something I'm seeing in my mind, in my face, in my imagination, some sense object, and I feel that there is happiness in that. That's why. That is the time when our Shraddha moves away from the self-realization to Maya. So, even a slightest trace of desire comes inside, and it is when that desire comes, along with that, then comes the anger, fear, distress, all other kinds of things. Therefore, first thing that will come is desire. Is desire. And if that asakti, attachment, comes in anything, and attachment comes, then to fructify that, we will try in all possible ways. We will put our effort in that. But whatever happens when that desire comes, without getting unaffected by that, and in that case, you will notice yourself that this Kamadeva and his army, what is his army? Kamadeva is this desire. And his army is all the other ragadvesham connected with that. They will withdraw. And they will get frightened by our strength inside and they will withdraw from us. That means to what extent you are established in the self. That's an indication. To what extent one is established in self or in spiritual life. It's an indication of that. Sometimes we say, that's another side way of saying that, sthita prajnatvam in the Bhagavad Gita, right? whatever situation happens, always able to feel in life that I am with Krishna. I am happy with that situation. Not external things will not going to make me happy in any way. Unless I am with Krishna, it's going not going to make any difference. And to remain in that state, it's sometimes difficult. But even though circumstances makes a person to act in a particular way, still it creates, circumstances creates inside different emotions, and it makes us to respond accordingly. But when we are clear in our head that I am not a person who is going to surrender to those emotions, and able to come to that state of existence, and able to feel still taking Krishna shelter at that time and remain in that state, that is what Markandeya Maharshi has done here. It did not bother him at all what all happened. Such a person, that whatever happens here in this world and whatever thought waves comes in the subtle body, Andhakarana Vritti it's called, and even if any powerful situations comes here and creates strong emotions inside, no matter what happens, he will be able to remain in that state, unaffected by anything. Because it is anchored so very well with Krishna. It's anchored well with Krishna. So, many instances you will find the mind is compared to like a boat which is swaying in the wind. And if it is, mind is attached to Krishna, when we say attached to Krishna means fixed up in the spiritual knowledge and fixed up in that sadhana. The easiest way is that when we forget Krishna, we get affected by the world. So therefore, whenever we forget Krishna, we chant Krishna's holy name. It will remind us straight away that the mind is having a movement inside, and bring the mind back into its healthy state, being connected with Krishna. So, no matter how much Shastram we study, when a situation happens like that in life, if we are unable to hold on to it, to Krishna, and we get frightened and disturbed over that, when fear comes, it's no point in not showing it outside. Some people do like that. They'll be fearful inside, but outwardly they will act as though there is no fear, right? But that is not what it is expected. What is expected is that inside itself there should be no impact. You can see this. People try to act very bold and show they are not disturbed externally. But internally they will be disturbed. That's no good. That's not what that means. What it means is that when externally all kinds of changes going on or situations happens which rocks our mind, but internally it's not affecting the mind. That has to come. Not some people, what they do, internally they burn themselves. And outwardly they will try to show that, oh, everything I can manage. That's ahangaram it is. That's useless. The proper spiritual realization is that when situations happens outside, it's not bothering us anymore, because internally you have knowledge and you are anchored with Krishna. You are with Krishna. That firm belief and firm shelter in Krishna's protection, ashrayam, that is what is required. So, sometimes people think like that, oh, I am chanting the holy name, I am a devotee, I am reading Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore I can't show anger towards others. They think like that. But inside he is very angry. The person is angry inside. It is coming, anger. But because he thinks I am a devotee, because you read Bhagavad Gita and say, you should not get angry, you shouldn't, so many things, isn't it? So, you start acting like that, in that way. But that is not what is expected here. That's not what is meant here. In case of Markandeya Maharshi, that's not what they are talking about. What they are saying there is that under any circumstances, you shouldn't build up tension inside. And no emotions should come up in the mind on its own, right? So that state is called what that verse says, tasyevam yunjatas chittam. See, Krishna, Sutta Goswami is very clear in the definition. Tasyevam yunjatas chittam tapaswadhyaya samyamai anugrahaya avirasil naranarayano hari. Great rishis, they can easily know what is going on inside you, in your mind. So, Naranarayana Rishi came there, and they saw Markandeya, and they could see that no emotions have come in Markandeya's inside. Markandeya doesn't have to say anything to them. They will know it. They can read our subtle body very clearly, what is going on inside. So, they could see that Markandeya Maharshi was genuinely taken shelter of Krishna. That means taken shelter of Hari. Naranarayano Hari. Anugrahaya avirasil Naranarayano Hari. And for this he has executed severe tapasya and swadhyaya both. Studying Shastram and also the austerities and penances. Two things we discussed before. Tapas swadhyaya samyamai. Right? So, that is our intention also. It is for that purpose. Even while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the great devotees will say that continue chanting the holy name. Even though you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam and you are getting understanding of things, they will still tell you to chant the holy name. Why? Because they know the problem. Problem is this. You may hear things, but when the mind will go, you don't know. But so to remind you back again about the knowledge in the Bhagavatam, the holy name will help. Therefore, chanting the holy name is important all the time. It's important. Because from our side, some practice is required. Just because you heard something and with the mind and brain you have understood something doesn't mean the process is complete. So, in order to keep the mind in that Ishwara Bhava, to keep attached to Krishna, that practice is required. If it is not there, no matter whatever knowledge you may have, sometimes in certain circumstances, purva vasana, previous vasanas what you had, will come and they will drag you down. They will drag you down. Many thought waves will come and it may not be possible for you to control them at that time. This all one can see oneself if one looks at one's own life every day carefully. All these things happening in our own life. But we don't look at it. We are always busy with everything else in this world. If you look at your own life, you will see day by day how these things are repeatedly happening in our daily life. This is happening. And you can also see that's the time to experiment with all these things. And if you start chanting the holy name, immediately you will see that Maya going away. Maya will leave us at that time. That is the power of Krishna's name. That when such emotions come, when such powerful vasanas comes, because sometimes circumstances can create a situation when our vasanas will jump up from inside and you can be drawn by that. That is the time when you have to observe yourself and see how to chant the holy name and to see how the holy name calms you down and that shanti comes back straight away. So these are instances to for us to look at and practice in one's own life and see how it happens. We will understand that. So certain instances you should not think of chanting the holy name as a kriya. This is the problem with everything. It's like a kriya for most of the people, like a job you do. I have to do the 16 hours, that's finished. Then I have nothing to do with it. This kind of nature. That is dangerous. In everything, this attitude is wrong. Whether you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, whether you are chanting the holy name, whether you are doing the deity worship, the bhavam is important. Bhavam, most of us, because we are addicted to that nature, that you can see in people's habits, it doesn't leave them very easily. People got used to it, that kind of dealing with spiritual life also. Like in material life, what do? I have to do these things. I have to go for shopping. I have to pay the bills. I have to do this, clean the house. I have to do so many. I've done that and that's done. And we say that, oh, it is done with. Finished it. Done with. If I bring that mind into spiritual life also, then it is become a karma. In spiritual life, one shouldn't go in that direction. So that's why we are trying to fit in everything in life and spiritual life also to fit in with others. That mentality is not good because that is not going to help you in life. Spiritual life means that you have to give time for it. Bhavagrahi janardana. Krishna sees the bhavam inside. This whole verse there, murkham vadati vishnaya, that the word vidvan vadati vishnave, then he says bhavagrahi janardana. Then murkha means one who is not educated, vishnaya he will say. It's a grammatical mistake. Vidvan vadati vishnave, that vidvan realized person will say vishnave. That's the right way to say. But then it says, whether you say vishnave or vishnaya, it doesn't matter. As far as Krishna is concerned, bhavagrahi janardana. How you are executing your spiritual life, that's what matters. That means, say Srimad Bhagavatam you are hearing, are you giving sufficient time for it? Or you are just doing it, so I have to be there for a few hours and then finished with it and gone on to the next work I have to do. If that's the way it is, it will remain like that. So it is a dangerous, these are all the misunderstanding about spiritual life. We have not understood what spiritual life means. Spiritual life means that you are able to take it seriously and bring that inside and able to absorb that principles, what we are studying from the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it is not having any substantial benefit from that. While hearing, you may find it some benefit. But as soon as you leave, it will leave you also. As soon as you leave the place. So, similarly, you can see here that these are to be experimented and tested in one's own life. As I was saying, that certain situations comes, sahajaryam, the circumstances when it comes, right? Sometimes you will get angry straight away. And that is because of the vasanas before. Previously, you used to get angry like that in certain circumstances, right? And similar circumstances comes again in life and again you are getting angry in that way. But that is a normal situation. People, it are like that. And you are gone after different sense objects and you become a slave of different emotions and you have carried out a lot of activities and the vasanas of all those things, that means different activities you have done before, and the different emotions to which you have surrendered or succumbed before, and different sense objects you have chased before, all of them has created its own vasana inside us. And that vasana will be there. And tomorrow again, if similar circumstances comes again, no matter how hard you try to control that, these emotions, vasanas inside, will bring back those emotions again. You got to be very cautious of all these things. And unless you analyze all these things and think about it, how will you remember? Remember means, how will it change otherwise? Suppose I have taken Srimad Bhagavatam, 4 hours I have to speak, after this is over, then I will do what I want. If you take that approach, then Srimad Bhagavatam will remain as a mystery to me. It will never, it's aloof from me. The way to see this is, the rishis are teaching us how, by their own lifestyle, how to understand Bhagavatam. How to understand Bhagavatam. So here you can see that that Brahman or illusion, and that is what is called Kamadeva, Kamana. So, and then what happens is, once a desire comes, Ragadvesham will come after that, if it is not fulfilled. Ragam or Dvesham will come. So, therefore, first thing is to think about Kamam. Remember what Krishna said. Dhyayato Vishaya Pumsan. Very clear. Isn't it? Dhyayato Vishaya Pumsan. Sangaste Shubha Jayade. Sangal Sanjayade Kamam. Kamal Krodhobi Jayade. Krodhal Bhavadi Samoham. Samohal Smriti Vibhramam. Smriti Bhramshal Udhinasham. Udhinashal Pranashyadi. We have memorized all these verses, but we have never analyzed it properly. That is our problem. We have memorized all the verses, but we never analyzed it properly in our own life. When we don't do that, that verse remains simply as a verse only. That is where this explanation of Bhagavad Gita's philosophy is in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is nothing but a commentary on Bhagavad Gita to show us personalities who lived that life and perfected their life. In the same way, when we are following their footsteps, we have to do exactly the same thing with our own life. We all have to do the same thing with our own life. Not to think that this is another karma I'm doing. Bhagavatam is not a karma. Chanting the holy name is not a karma. It is, holy name is taking shelter of Krishna every time we fall into Maya. When Maya is dragging us in one direction, shelter is Krishna's holy name. In that way, going back to Krishna every time, sometimes we are unable to do it because our vasanas, previous vasana, and the circumstances outside force us to get involved in things and driven by that. Even at that time, the shelter is Krishna's holy name. Shukabrahmashi mentions that, isn't it? He says, what does he say? Kalau dosha nidirajan asti keho mahan gunan kirtanal krishna sangasya mukta sanga param prajet. Dvadasha skandam will say that, right? So, as Bhagavad Gita says, the ayado vishaya pamsan, you can see. Vishayam or sense objects are like that. So, every sense object, sensual happiness, in order to enjoy that, you will require your hands or legs or whatever that is. And they will also act like before. When the circumstances comes like that, it will go like that, like we talk about, to make fun of this, to make us understand better. These police people, policemen, I don't know today now what it is like, but in the olden days, they used to torture the criminals, right, to get their agreement. They'll catch hold of somebody, thieves or some crimes they have committed. So sometimes it was very difficult to prove. Nowadays it's becoming a little different in that sense. We have accepted this DNA test and all other things, isn't it? To prove, right? To prove a criminal. But in the past, DNA and all were not there. It was waterboarding and the older systems, like torture, severe torture, right? So some criminals, they wouldn't easily give way. They won't agree. They say, I have not done it. Why you are they will argue each other. So the policeman will eventually lose the patience. So he will kick him with his boots. Very heavy boots. He'll kick him to get the truth out of him. And depending on the strength of the mind of the other person, the criminal person with whom, sometimes they will agree that I have done the thing, and that's all what they want, so that they can take him to the court and there he could be given the punishment and the case can be closed, right? So police wants to close the case, and therefore they will use any kind of process, method to make the criminal agree. But after living that policeman's life for a long time like that, when he comes out, he is retired, still the old habit hasn't gone. If anybody says anything, he doesn't like, he kicks him straight away. He kicks him straight away. In the Bhagavatam you will see that we have such vasanas builds up inside. Due to previous practice, we have practiced it like that. So you have been dealing like that with people, with kicking them and torturing them. And that's how you have dealt with people in life all the time. With anger, with torture, with fighting. And so that vasana gets inside. And then what happens? In every situation you will think you have to be like that to get your job done. So when that becomes, he says here, that it may not be necessary that you will be able to control yourself. You may not be able to control yourself, because that chitavritti will come back, vasana will come back and force you to act like that. So that is why they are saying, chant the holy name. In situations like that, we have to have that control on the mind, not to be driven, dragged by that, and immediately we should take the shelter of the holy name. Right? So every time when we chant the holy name, our Shraddha will fall into Krishna again. We'll remember Krishna, right? So if when we are chanting, and even if circumstances do change in life, because of the power of chanting the holy name, and because you are still remain closer to Krishna by chanting the holy name, and the performing of the penances and austerities, all that, and that will be behind you as a force to protect you in that situation. So these are things to take notice of, that you don't become surrendered to the emotions so easily. You don't become surrendered to the emotions so easily. So few things like this we should learn from Markandeya Maharshi's story. And Sudha Goswami particularly brings up all these things, that for a person who is performing sadhana, it's very easy to become a karmam. Sadhana to become a karmam. Karma means that you will do it like a work, like a job. Isn't it? That's no use. That's no use. You feel, oh, I have to do this. So what am I supposed to do? I have to do this 16 rounds or 64 rounds, whatever it is. You feel like a burden on your shoulders, and you start doing. And same thing with Bhagavatam also, like a burden on your shoulders. Oh, I have to do that. In that way, and not giving the due gravity or seriousness to the what you are doing, and not realizing the importance of that, and acting in a way which is detrimental to the spiritual advancement. So, so those emotions, not to become pulled by them, and to win over those vritti. The other side is, knowledge of the Shastram is there, knows everything, but when the circumstances change, you don't have an anchor anywhere. You know the things well. You have studied the Bhagavatam, understood everything, or Bhagavad Gita. You know the Dhyayita Vishaya Pumsam, like everybody knows the verses, right? That is not for preaching to others. That's for in one's own life, if you have to test it, all these things, and find yourself that this is correcting what Krishna is saying there. So, otherwise what will happen is that when circumstances change, if you do not have strong anchor to Krishna, anchored with Krishna, then you will definitely fall. Therefore, they are saying, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. And that's what Shukabrahmashi will say this at the very end. He feels about Kali Yugam. that in Kali he is not expecting a very high standard of purity. He is not expecting a very high standard of knowledge of the Shastram or anything. But this one little thing, he says, even that they won't do. That's how he says that. Sudeva Goswami says that. Even that they don't do. Then what can I do? What can we do? He says. That's about the Kali Yuga. He says that. A few places he has mentioned that, but there are some verses where Kudejadhyayave Vishnu Tridayam Nijadomagai Dwabare Parijadhyayam Kalaudal Harikirtanal. The chanting of the holy name is stressed again in that verses also. And then he mentions that later on in the end of the Bhagavatam also, he will say this. Padidaskalido artha shutuava vivasho bruvan haraye nama ityuchai muchyade sarvapadagal. That's a famous quotation from him. Padidas kalido vartha chutvava vivasho bruven. Hareye nama
means obeisances to Krishna. Hareye nama itu chai, loudly one should say when such emotions comes. Loudly. Hareye nama itu chai muchyade sarvapadagal. Says like that in the 12th canto. It's out. So practically you can understand that Krishna's Sri Shuka Brahma Rishi and Sudha Goswami, all of them, is teaching us how to become connected to Krishna all the time. That is the principle. So here that and chanting the holy name reminds us of our connection with Krishna. That's what it does. When we chant the holy name, Atma Swarupam is Krishna Swarupam. Not different from Krishna. So, and then there is no chance of getting lost. That's what he is saying here in that verse 30. Yannaga hamobhavam natachitram mahal suhi. Verse 30. Idindranijarair Brahman Darshito Vimahamuni Yannaga Dahamo Bhavam Natachitram Mahal Suhi. You see that word? Yannaga Dahamo Bhavam Aham Bhavam Ahankaram did not develop in him. Who? So when Ahankaram develops, that is when the emotions comes. In Markandeya Maharshi's case, even though the agents of Indra came there and they tried to disturb him, Sudha Goswami is specifically pointing out this to us. What is that? Yan nagal ahamo bhavam na tachitram mahal suhi. He says, Ahangaram did not develop in him. That means none of the emotions developed. That's what it means. No Ahangaram developed. So, when we react to some situation, what happens? Our Ahangaram develops first, isn't it? Ahangaram expects us to react in a particular way. Ahangaram wants it. It is Ahangaram that is doing it. Ahangaram is reacting basically to all the situations. We will say, oh, I don't have any Ahangaram, I am very humble and all that. But that's no point. That doesn't mean anything. We are always asking the question, isn't it? That why am I hearing all these things in the Bhagavatam, but when the problem comes, why am I not able to control? Why do I fall? Every time people ask this question, the answer is this. Markandeya Maharshi is teaching that. Because he is so strongly fixed with Krishna that Ahangaram is not coming, developing. That's what it is. Yen nagal ahamo bhavam. Ahamo bhavam na tachitram mahal suhi. Means, seeing Markandeya like that, Indra was amazed, shocked, that least bothered about what happened. Why? Because Ahangaram has not developed inside.
You see? Ahangaram is the cause behind it. But if you tell somebody this, oh, you're very ahangaram inside, they will say, no, 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 I'm a very humble person. That's what they will say. Nobody will agree that they are ahangaram inside. Right? But the way to know that is in situations like this, how you are reacting to it. That is the proof of the ahangaram inside. That ahangaram will not allow you to do that. And unless that you are strongly connected to Krishna inside by chanting, when any adverse situation comes in life, immediately we should be able to chant the holy name and take Krishna shelter. And that way the ahangaram won't come up. And if ahangaram don't come up, no emotions will come, no ragadvesham will come. That is the benefit from that. This is why chanting is essential, and one should chant in, and as and when one mind is. Maya is ways of tracking us in different situations. So that's what he's saying here. So Markandeya Maharshi, inside them, they were not least bothered about it. And not only that, Markandeya Maharshi even didn't think, I have beaten them. They didn't, I won, they lost. He didn't think like that even. This is the beauty. Markandeya Maharshi didn't think like that. That I have won, they have lost. He didn't bother. It didn't disturb him at all because he is busy with Krishna inside the heart. That's why. So, those who are with Krishna like that, nothing can disturb them very easily. They won't be shaken. That means, this is Maya. Kamadeva and others is Maya. Maya will not be able to pull a person down who is closely connected with Krishna. So, you know the story of Haridas Thakur, how he survived, isn't it, with the prostitute, that famous story, right? And same thing in Bhikshu Gita. Bhikshu says, is it not? So many verses. Remember? We thought it's only applied to Bhikshu, not to me. That's how we are taking it. It's all for Bhikshu. The story, isn't it? Everything is story for us. Katha, katha, katha. Becomes a katha like that. Bhikshu Gita is for us. That to know that this mind, manaparam karanam amanandi, samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. Why do we study all these things? To remember that our own mind is in trouble, and at that time the cause is mind. When he says mind there, what it means is ahangaram there. That ahangaram pops up. I am the one who is controlling the situation. Isn't it? And then he gave, in that, if you look at that chapter, 19th chapter, 11:23. If you look at the verses, 43. Nayam janome suga dukkha hedo, na devadalma grahakarma gala, manaparam karanam amanandi, samsara zakram parivartaye jal. Mano gunanvai srajade beliyam tadascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnani adalohidani tebhya savarna smadayo bhavandi. All that is about the mind. Ahangaram. How? Mind means, sometimes they will address the mind as ahangaram. Ahangaram is mind also. Dhanam sadharmo nemo yamascha shudanja karmani jasalvradani. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yoga manasa samadhi samahidam yasya manaprashandam dana divikim vadadasya krityam asam yadam yasya mano vinashya dana divischeda varam kimebhi mano vashenye abhavansma deva manaschana nyasya vasham samedi bhishmo hi deva hasa sahasa sahi anyunjyad vashetam sahi deva deva Tam durjayam shatram asahya vegam arundudam danna vijitege jil kurvand asad vigraha matra martir mitrani udasina ripun vimudhaha deham manomatram imam grihitva mamahamityandhadiyo manushyaha eshoham anyoyam idi brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. It goes all about the ahangaram spoken there. It's all about the ahangaram that is spoken there, which we have spoken earlier, before. So, that is the important principle there. Here you can see that Bhikshu said that the mind is always wins when we fight with it. Mind always wins. You can see every day we are controlled by the mind, isn't it? What our mind tells us, we do that. So, but those who are with properly situated with Krishna, in the proper way, relationship is there, then you can win over the mind, and that is the highest level. The state where time, place, all these things have no bearing on your happiness. That state. Desha kala bhedam. You should be able to be happy here, you should be able to be happy anywhere else as well. And you should be able to be happy in the morning, you should be able to be happy in the evening as well. So desha kala bhedam, time and place should not come and have a bearing on your happiness. Full independence, in other words. And no circumstances should control your life here. It will take time. Now here, we are hearing Shastram here. And through Markandeya Maharshi's story, we can understand that this is to indicate to us that opposing circumstances can come in life. Right? And in order that you don't fall and suffer from that, one should take Krishna shelter, and for that purpose, the holy name. So, whichever way you can remain with Krishna, we go in that. For some people it may be deity worship. They do it as much as possible. Deity worship. But you can't do deity worship all the time for everybody. So they cannot. It's not possible. Practically difficult. So therefore, the holy name is a better way. Holy name you can chant everywhere. In all difficult conditions you can still chant Krishna's holy name. Right. And so, when things are favorable, if you become more and more, when time is favorable, what I mean is that when there is some satugunam inside and external situation is also favorable, if you give more attention at that time to Krishna consciousness, in that case, tomorrow when negative situations develops around us, it will protect us to get through that situation. Even when the circumstances becomes negative. In those situations, what you have done when things were positive, the time you have invested, the absorption of Bhagavatam inside, this will strengthen inside so that when the negative situation, because prarabdham, how it will take every one of us, which way, nobody knows how it will all happen in life, isn't it? So when that situation comes, it will protect us at that time. If during the good times, when things were favorable, if you have executed spiritual life seriously, Krishna consciousness. So, here now you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam now, but when you go off the track, which can happen any time, at that time, that this will hold you back. That I heard in the Bhagavatam like this. Sometimes, Krishna will give you that memory and make you not to go in that wrong direction. Right? And so, when opportunity is given, not taking it seriously, that's bad. When opportunity is given, not taking it seriously. Similarly, when an opportunity is there to hear Bhagavatam, and there is time to chant the holy name, and there is a possibility to do some service to Krishna, when we don't do that, then when the situation gets worse in life, you can't expect any protection at that time. So, for difficult times, when difficult times comes in life, if you want the shelter, in good times you should invest the time and energy to strengthen your realizations by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and follow the sadhana process connected with that. And also be conscious of all the time this ahankaram is creating the trouble. That not allowing the ahankaram to react every situation in this world. Smaran mukundangri vohuhanam yatha means that you have kept yourself very close to Krishna. Smaran mukundangri, Krishna's lord's feet, which means that all the time you are aware of your relationship with Krishna. Then mind will not go after anything else. So this firm mind, or what you say, Krishna calls it as dhradavrata, isn't it? Esham tondagadam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanarmukta bhajan deimam dhradavrata. What does dhradavrata means? That means you are connected with Krishna firmly so that external things cannot topple you in your journey in this world. Yesham tondagadam papam, Bhagavad Gita says, jananam punyakarmanam. What happens to them? They come free from the Vedabuddhi. Te dvandva moham narmukta, from duality, that illusion that comes from duality, they get released. Bhajan deimam dhradavrata. That dhradavrata word, that's what you are talking about here. That once it happens, that dhradada, then it will not, mind won't play the game anymore after that. And like this attraction in the mind, moham, illusion in the mind, that certain things are very nice in this world, certain things are not nice. And every time mind from inside bringing these thoughts, if I do this, I'll be happy. If I do that, I'll be happy. This is what I need in my life to become happy. In this way, for the mind is always playing its cards from inside. And but for those, as Krishna says that verse, Yasham Tundagadam Papam, in that verse, that he is dhradavrata. He knows that the mind is acting. I should not be victimized by the mind. So, but these things can happen in a second. Suddenly a thought comes, so powerful thought wave comes, and makes you start thinking that this is what I have to do to become happy. And then what happens? You will go along with that thought. Then the planning starts, isn't it? You start becoming victimized by that thought. Rather, you don't have that time to analyze it, that to ask the question, why am I not happy in the present situation? What is that causing me this thought waves to come, right? So, in the same way, in the story it is saying, Kamadeva came and also he brought his arrows, the five kinds of arrows all together. So, when we may think that we have time to analyze things, right? But normally if you look yourself, you will see in your own life that certain times you don't even have time to think. A desire comes inside and then you go after the desire. You don't have the time to think and analyze it. Is this necessary for me to have become happy in this way? No time. Whatever Markandeya all forgotten at that time. No Markandeya, nothing. We will do what we want. That is the power of vasana operating from inside. Because previously we have done the same thing and got used to it. And that vasana is strong inside and it will come up and control the whole situations and you will go and make decisions in that way. So, in such situations, to check that propensity to go in that way, tapasya is required, tapashakti. The power of tapasya does that. What it does is, tapasya swadhyaya samyamam, he says there, isn't it, in the seventh verse. What he said was, prapta dvijadi samskaram markandeya pitukramal chandam sadhitya dharmena tapaswadhyaya samyuda. That's what it is. You remember, two things, tapasya, swadhyayam. Tapasya is the one that will protect you in that situation. Swadhyayam is the one that will keep you close to Krishna. That's why these two things are important, tapasya and swadhyayam. So, this tapasya, swadhyayam, what it does is, it creates bhakti, virakti, jnanam. Bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, it creates, right? So, continuous shastra jnanam, which is called a swadhyayam, helps us to, and continuous tapasya, and this will help us to keep mind attached to Krishna all the time. Samyamam means controlling the mind in such a way, bringing it back from the sense objects. If we do this and practice it in life, and life will be, you can enjoy life. You can enjoy life, not to get disturbed over things, right? So, when they saw Markandeya Maharshi's nature, the way Markandeya Maharshi was there at that time, just like him, this Narayana Maharshi has succeeded before. You know the story. Urvashi came with Kamadeva to destroy Narayana Maharshi's tapasya. So, Narayana Maharshi has succeeded this before, and now Markandeya Maharshi has done exactly the same thing, won over the Maya. And so Maharshi came there in the form of Naranarayana Krishi. And then Narayana Krishi arrived there. Markandeya Maharshi offered obeisances to Naranarayana Krishi. Right. So, many devotees, they have mentioned this, many Mahatmas who have tested this, all these things in their own life. When somebody says something from their own experience, it's completely different. It's not like reading from the book. Because tomorrow what will happen, nobody knows in life. What will happen tomorrow, nobody knows, right? Say, for example, something happened and to the body and you have taken to hospital. They have put you into this intensive care unit or something like ICU, we'll call it. Or something happened to this body and you were homebound, staying at home. You can't do anything. You are dependent on others giving you some help. Otherwise you can't live here. That situation has come, right? And naturally, it will create terrible distress inside of that helpless situation, helplessness, right? Being dependent on others to care for this body. Even though it may be your close relations and all that, there is only up to a limit anybody can do for anyone. And there is always this possibility that you will also feel a certain unhappiness inside for expecting that help from somebody else to maintain it, isn't it? So, that time, you will feel some vairagyam will come in the mind when that happens. Some vairagyam will come. Otherwise, mind won't think about those things. Mind will be planning enjoyment, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. This is the normal nature of the mind, right? But when a situation like that happens, there will be some vairagyam will come. Because you are actually accepting the reality now. This is my life now. there is not much hope that I will recover from this illness and I will get my health back. My life is over practically. It's now living here as long as this life is present in this body. How to pass the rest of the time in this world, right? Whereas, if a person has chanted the holy name and taken the shelter of the holy name, never did it as a karmam. Remember that. Never did it as a karmam. And people ask this question, how many rounds do you chant? And then they judge you, how many rounds is he doing? That is not the question here. If he is doing one, how far out he is? 164, he is a Haridas Thakur, they say. And somebody else saying, oh, he's only chanting four rounds. He's not. He's no good. Four rounds anybody can do. This is the way they understood chanting. So that is useless. That's useless. That is not how you understand the chanting. By chanting the holy name, has one developed this understanding that if I am in trouble, Krishna is a shelter. This is why Krishna is saying, my yasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. For this reason, have you become dependent on Krishna's holy name or not? That is the question. Not that, how many rounds have you done every day? That is not the question. In order to become dependent, you should chant as much as necessary for that, till you feel you are dependent on Krishna. How many rounds is doesn't matter. Some great devotees, they chant all the time because they want to be more dependent on Krishna. According to your degree of desire inside, their dependency is more important. Bhakti is this surrender. Bhakti is not an exercise where you monitor your karma. When you are asking that question, how many rounds you are chanting, it means you have turned it into karma. Only in karmam you will monitor like that. When you are doing a particular karmam, you will do like that. So these vasanas, this behavior in us is coming from our karmic background. In karmam, that's what we have done all along life. We have done something and we got something. So this doing business must stop. And that comes to chanting the holy name, that comes to Bhagavadam also. We start taking Bhagavadam is something I have to go there, few hours I have to hear and then I am busy with my work. This attitude comes there. That is bad. That's not helping very much. When we get an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and that too personalities, devotees like Markandeya Maharshi and their life, it brings us to think about it. What is spiritual life means? And able to look through it and see, am I doing the same thing or am I doing the other way? This way one should be able to think about it. If he's not thinking that, it hasn't done anything for him. He has done another karma like he has done to work in the office or done something else. That's the way it is. So here, if a person who has started chanting the holy name and he has developed this consciousness of dependent on Krishna in all situations, even if you are put into intensive care unit or even if you are housebound by any illness, still you will find shelter in that holy name and Krishna shelter. You won't feel that distress to the same extent what you would have normally felt otherwise. So, and that is why many Mahalmas have said this, that at that situation they will chant loudly. And even if they cannot do it in the hospital, they will chant inside and feel sheltered there. Because what happens to the body, nobody knows what will happen to this body. Nobody knows how it will all end up, isn't it? So, and this is, in many people have repeatedly spoken about this, about the chanting, how it has helped them. So, one instance, one person, he wanted to commit suicide because he lost all interest in life. So many things went wrong. And practically he felt that life was hopeless, right? And by chance he was walking around planning things, how I should end up my life. It so happened he was passing through a temple where Srimad Bhagavatam was being spoken. Somebody was speaking Bhagavatam there. He went and sat there. And and he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and they were discussing all these topics there. In the Krishna is controlling everybody in different ways. Nobody knows how things happen in life, isn't it? By chance he happened to hear, it was coming out, the sound was coming out, a lot of people are sitting there. He thought, let me go and sit there for some time. He never had any faith in Bhagavatam before, nor he had faith in the holy name either. But something, because in that particular state, when he thought of ending his life, and he was wandering around, he felt like going inside the temple when he heard the sound there, and went and sat there. And in his mind he was still thinking how he should end up his life. And the easiest method, he thought, is to jump in front of a train. He was thinking, planning in his mind, even while going into the temple, he was thinking that let me finish up this life. There was some train coming at 3 o'clock or sometime like that, some particular time a train was supposed to come. And he was thinking, today I will finish my life, I'll jump in front of the train and I want to end this life. This was in his mind. And that is, with these thoughts in his walking, and he came to this temple and he sat there. And that particular day, he knew the train is coming at 3 o'clock. That's the time he wanted to jump in front of the train. But that particular day, the train got so delayed. It didn't happen. Train didn't come on time. It got so late, and all that time he was sitting in the temple and hearing this Bhagavatam, discussions there about the Bhagavatam. And that person, after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, changed his mind not to kill himself. And then that person today lives. He is not very old. He has taken Srimad Bhagavatam and he preaches Bhagavatam everywhere now. That's how life has changed for him. He has studied Bhagavatam very well, particularly Sridhara Swami's commentary, and he can speak very well today, and many people invite him to hear Bhagavatam. And he is the person, at one point he wanted to give up his life. How he had that Krishna's protection, because he was genuine, he was sincerely, he believed in Krishna's shelter. Sincerely he followed, he chanted the, in the sense that he didn't take Bhagavatam seriously, but he did deity worship before. He didn't take Bhagavatam seriously, but he did deity worship before. And in that deity worship, he had a natural attachment to the deities, and he has some protection from that. Somehow or the other, some previous vasana has come back, and how Krishna controls one's life is very difficult to say. Someone who would have ended his life has ended to be a preacher, or to say, a acharya of Srimad Bhagavatam. Life has changed in that way for him. So a few minutes proper reflection on things, and it has got the capacity to protect us. We don't have to spend a whole lifetime to develop this. A few minutes proper analysis inside and feeling able to understand the importance of the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's pastimes, all these things will teach us this one thing, how powerful it is, the holy name is, and the power of shelter. So what happened now? Indra's Maya offered obeisances to Markandeya, isn't it? Indra's Maya has offered obeisances to Markandeya, that she couldn't do anything in front of him. That's what that story is talking. Now, we have to go into this most important part of the Markandeya Maharshi's glorification of Naranarayana Rishi. It is very famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Sudha Goswami is talking about the Markandeya Maharshi's story as requested by Shaunak Rishi. Right? We have seen here that for a long period of time, very, very long period of time, Markandeya Maharshi kept himself connected with Krishna, with this mind, and controlled his mind and senses from the world outside, from the sense objects, and regularly that realization inside through the different words what Sudha Goswami we have spoken so far, and Maharshi, Markandeya Maharshi, engaged in Swadhyayam, Vedam, Swadhyayam, and he said that he won over Maya, won over Maya. After that, we heard there that Indra, in the seventh Manu's time, six Manu's time passed like this. It's Maya, isn't it? So, you can experience 6 months, six Manu's time easily. You will feel that you pass through 6 Manu's time. And when Indra sent all his army to disturb Markandeya's penances, Kamadeva came, Apsaras came, Gandharvas came, all the instruments were bought, singing, all that happened. The season also, Vasantam, Krutu, has come. In all ways, the mind was going to be agitated or disturbed by that. And the Apsaras women, they were playing with the balls, and it was Malaya Maridan, the wind from the Malaya mountains was blowing, and at that time Kamadeva shot the arrow with the five faces, and we have seen there everything was organized and managed very well, but it didn't happen. The result was didn't happen what they expected. What did Sudha Goswami say there? Those who are not favored by Krishna, their action will never become successful. We saw that yesterday, isn't it? Anishasya yado udhyama, he says. Sarvam tatra bhavan mokha anishasya yado udhyama. That's how Sudha Goswami spoke about that. So, even though they did all things perfectly, because Maya in its full form came, Apsaras women, Malaya Maridan, Vasanta Hrutu, then the Gandharvas, the music, the dance, and the way Apsaras woman, that her name is Punjigastali, how she performed her part, all these things was sufficient to disturb his mind. But he didn't get disturbed. So, they came back and reported back to Indra what happened. And when this happened, you will see what happened. Indra was in a shock. It didn't work. Drishtva nistejasam kamam, verse 31. Saganam bhagavan swarad, shrutva anubhavam brahmarshir, vismayam samagat param, it says. So, when they heard about Markandeya's power, and they were shocked, but Markandeya was not bothered, he was not concerned at all, right? Sudha Goswami says there in the middle of that, he says that in verse 30, yan nagad ahamo bhavam na tachitram mahal suhi. Sudha Goswami is looking at the Markandeya spiritual realizations. Have you noticed that? He is not interested in also describing other things. What he is concerned about, telling Shaunak Rishi, look at Markandeya, how his situation was. That he says, that yannagal ahamobhavam nat achitram mahalsuhi, that his mind not wavering at all in spite of all what has happened. And he also said there that mokham anishase yadodhyama, that they failed because they didn't have the approval, Krishna's approval. Krishna hasn't agreed, therefore it didn't happen. They didn't have the support from Krishna's side, right? So then, in this way they have, although they behaved like this, who Indra and his men behaved like this, no movement has happened in wavering in his mind. Not only that, was not affected by lusty desires, and one side, he never felt any lusty desires inside, who Markandeya Maharshi. On the other hand, he did not feel any anger towards Indra, both. Two things. One side, he didn't feel any lusty desires inside when all these things happened. On the other hand, he didn't get angry with Indra. Neither desire or kamam nor anger. Neither of them. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita happened to Markandeya. Right? So, he is not feeling that. He is not feeling there. Markandeya never thought, oh, I have escaped from this problem. Nor did he feel proud that I won the battle. Neither. He didn't feel that I have escaped from this. Nor did he feel that I have won, they lost. That ahangaram inside. That's also ahangaram, isn't it? Feel that I have won, they have lost it. Didn't happen. So that's what he said there. Nata chitram mahal suhi. Verse 30. He says here, Sudha Goswami says here. Now what you need to look at what Sudha Goswami is saying about that. He is saying, Nata chitram mahal suhi. What that means is, in Mahal Mass, this is not unusual. Means, he gives a credit to Markandeya that he did not even react to it. And in Mahal Mass, it's not surprising at all. Nata chitram mahal suhi. So those two points, one, Nata chitram mahal suhi, the other one, Anishase yadodhyama. All these things are worthwhile noticing it. When Sudha Goswami mentions this to Shaunagarishi, right? So, so it is both with the jnani and with the devotee, both, bhakta and jnani. Saying like that is not surprising at all, right? If there is proper bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam in a person, then it will happen like this. If it happens like this, it's not surprising at all. That's what Sudha Goswami is pointing out there. If instead, if Markandeya Maharshi felt that I have beaten them, I won, they lost. If he has thought like that, or if he has felt that ahangaram came in, or thought about reacting to it, if any thought has come inside, that means he is not still fully established in bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. He is still not established. That's what it means. Right? So, in our life, we get a lot of opportunities like this, isn't it? Lot of opportunity comes in our life. And when such situations come, you look at yourself and see how our mind is reacting to it. Does it create ragam, dvesham and things like that? And when those circumstances come, are we feeling that bedabuddhi inside? And even if our circumstances around us are happening in such a way which can, provocations can happen inside, what is our reaction? From there you can see how good a devotee we are, how much knowledge we have, and how much renunciation we have. And this is the point to see. Instead of thinking that people are feeling that courses and seminars will create a devotee. Courses and seminars won't create. In one's own life, there are situations where one can assess oneself and see that how it is possible to do this. That's why we're saying PowerPoint presentation, interactive workshops, assessment exercises. This is, you can see on the dhanavads.com mentioned, this will be done in the course and seminar. No. This is all waste of time. They say, we offer you all these things, you come for studying Srimad Bhagavatam. No. You have to test Bhagavatam in your life. That's where the best place to test. PowerPoint presentation, interactive workshop, assessment exercise. You will be assessed after that. You will pass. You won't fail at that time. But you will fail when you need to pass. At that time you will fail. So what's the use then? So I was just reading that and thinking that if this is where we are, then what hope is there? So Markandeya Maharshi is saying this to us, that Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam, where do you measure your Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam in your life? That is the best place to measure that. Not in the seminar or the courses or somewhere else, pre-organized and stage-managed way. You can't measure that. In your own life, when situations comes, and sahajaryam, I mean circumstances are very not favorable, it's creating, and it is exciting my vasanas inside, at that moment, am I able to apply this knowledge from the Bhagavadam and able to control myself? Then you have passed the test. Then you have bhakti, you have jnanam, you have vairagyam. But at that moment, if you are failing, that means we are still in a very, 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 very basic level. We are still floating there on the lowest level. That's what it means, right? So, and in our life, whether after studying Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, or Swadhyayam, studying that, or you can keep on studying all these things from the books. Krishna is the only truth, everything else is false, right? But still, the issues in front of us in our life, as far as the male, female is concerned, religion is concerned, caste and religion and all this is concerned, and at the same time, what we read from the books about the mind, and we know that that world is false, but at the same time, the vastu that is present in everyone is the truth. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. All these things we are studying from the books, isn't it? Upanishads are teaching all these things. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. These male-female forms, what is causing its influences, right? All these things, we should be able to go beyond and see everyone as the Ishvara Swarupam, at Krishna's presence inside. And with that realization, serve the world in that way and try to move further in life. And even though we say all these things, in certain situations, that knowledge is not helping us in our practical life. We are not able to execute, use that knowledge in practical life. There are people who could do that, they're still there, people who are doing that. That lot of negativity from all sides, the surroundings and circumstances are not favoring them. And also, they have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything, and they know very well that the Brahman is Satyam, Jagat is Mithya, all this realization is there. But still, that Veda Buddhi is not going. from inside, right? Veda Buddhi will still come, will still come. And similarly, attraction for sense objects, Vishaya Vasana, that's called Vishaya Vasana. Vishaya Vasana will still be there inside. And some emotions connected with that will develop due to the Purva Vasana in the mind. They'll be doing everything very well in life, even in spiritual life. They could be doing everything very well. In the sense that they are studying Shastram, they are performing penances, austerities, everything. But this Purva Vasana is a very powerful force. When some circumstances you are caught up, at that time this Purva Vasana will come out. And that time this knowledge of the Shastram, the practice of your sadhana and tapas, everything, may not be strong enough to withstand that force that's coming from outside. And at that time what will happen is you will start seeing yourself as the body and you will start others also as the body. At that point, you will start seeing others purely on the bodily level and you will see yourself also purely on the bodily platform, on the bodily platform. And you will become very strong-minded and insist that you should have it. Otherwise you are not agreeing with that, right? So, if it doesn't happen, then, and you start thinking that they are responsible for your misery, right, and you will get angry. And when you get angry, and all these things will happen very fast, at a much faster pace it will happen. Many, many thoughts will come, many emotions will come, and it is not easy to fight that Maya. It's not easy to fight that Maya. That is Maya it is. It's not easy. So, to control the mind at that moment, to using all this knowledge to apply in that particular situation, and to bring the mind into a peaceful state in equilibrium is difficult. You have to look at your own life all the time. That's the only way you can realize this. When such circumstances comes in life, things are shaking you up inside out, at that time are you able to sit peacefully and analyze it and not to react to the situation forcefully, but instead able to see that what's happening is not happening for me, it's happening in my mind, and able to break away from the mind and able to analyze like that, that's not easy. That where Maya is too strong. You can't do anything about it. It's too powerful, Maya, at that time. But that is what he is saying there also. It is mentioned in the 8th chapter that when such a thing happens, we mention 13th verse, ittam. You should study Markandeya's way of dealing with Maya. How Krishna has helped him to win over. Markandeya never thinks that it's because of his strength he won. He realizes that how Krishna's help came to him at the right time when he needed it. And that's important. Ittam bhagat bradhara tapas swadhyaya samyamai. 13th verse. Dadhya adhokshajam yogi dvastha klesha andaralpana, he says. Dvastha klesha andaralpana. That he is dependent on Krishna. Therefore, his swadhyayam, tapasya, everything came to his help at the time when he needed it. That is Krishna's mercy. Dusta klesh andaralpana. That andaryami inside approved. Like Sukha Brahmarshi said later, isn't it? Indra's efforts all failed. Why? Krishna has not approved. Markandeya Maharshi was able to deal with it. Itam brahat bradhara stava swadhyaya samamai vidya adokshajam yogi dvastha klesha andaralpana. All kleshams, troubles, he was able to overcome because Andaryami inside approved his tapasa, swadhyayam both. He did his duty, tapasa and swadhyayam, that he did as a brahmachari. Brihat pratathara, and executed it in the full honesty. But that does not mean he will succeed in his effort unless that austerities and penances and all that knowledge he acquired comes to his rescue at the time when he needs it. And that is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. Dusta klesha, andaralpana. All these things Sudha Goswami is pointing out in this chapter with Markandeya. Keeping Markandeya. That how spiritual life we have to go on. That is why that dependence on Krishna is very important. More than the amount number of rounds you have chanted. Number of rounds chanting, it's only spoken in one aspect, that you are to have some steadiness in life, in that sense. But dependence on Krishna is more important than that. And it cannot be, it has to be genuine. You shouldn't say, oh, I'm dependent on Krishna, therefore I don't have to chant. That's not what it means. That's not how it works. That's all depend on our own honesty. How honest we are to ourselves, it depends on that. So here what happened now? That Dusta Klesha Andaralpana, he says. So because he was attached to Krishna, he knew that Krishna is Andaryami inside. You see, this Andaryami concept is there in every sampradaya. It is there in the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya also. You can't take it away. It is this Andaryami we are talking about, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, and Garbhodeshaya Vishnu. All three are Andaryami's three manifestations. Isn't it? Andaryami is there in the Vedam, it is called Andaryami. In Puranam, they have given up this breakup. Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and all that. Three different. One in relationship with all the universes, another one in relationship with one universe, and a third one in relationship with our own self, individual, which is Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. So, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Karanodakshaya Vishnu, all three are Andaryami concept. Concept is Andaryami, Paramatma Swarupam, Paramatma concept. Right. So, because he was conscious of this relationship with the Paramatma, and that is the path to go, or to go. And both in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam also is the same principle of this Andaryami concept, right? You will see that, isn't it? In the end of Bhagavad Gita also, what do you say? Isha, what that verse? No, Isha, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam. Yeah. What is that? Andaryami, isn't it? Krishna is saying this. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarudhani Mayaya Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Yak Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsisi Shashvadam, he says. So you can see Bhagavad Gita principle is that. Srimad Bhagavatam is also saying exactly the same thing. But, and Bhagavatam will give through examples of persons like Markandeya Maharshi and others, make us more conscious of that. Whereas in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has just spoken the principle. Very straightforward, right? But no matter how much you have understood all these things, you understood the words, you understood the translation also, and you have memorized it also, and you have told everybody else that this is what, you know the verse number and chapter number, like our man. Chapter number, verse number, he quotes straight away. So if you know the chapter number, verse number, that's all useless. This is the difficulty, this way of understanding Shastra, chapter number and verse number. So he says there that that no matter how much you have got all those things, and you have, that means the knowledge you learned from the books, right? By your effort, that knowledge. beyond than that, start giving attention to the Antaryami and able to practice that and able to withdraw from the world, that training is important, is more important. But most of the people think that reading the verse, translation and purport, and memorizing that, with that it is finished, they think. Isn't it? Many, many people think like that. Why? Because they think that for preaching that's what you need. The verse and the chapter and the translation and the purport. If you can add, some people also study the word by word meaning. So that nobody can question you then. You've got everything with you, all the tools. But that's only a very small part of the exercise. The major part is what the verse is saying, what we are understanding from Bhagavatam, how much have you taken into your own life and how much is it working in life. That's where your success is. That is the real part. Real spiritual life is that. That you are able, one side that knowledge is there, the knowledge from the books, that's there, right? But beyond than that, this training to give attention to the Antaryami inside is the reality. And my relationship with that Antaryami all the time to think like that. And even in all the crises and difficult situations in life, able to go back to him and finding shelter there. And always seeing that this world is unreal. This, what Shukadeva Goswami told us, Atma Sainyam around me are not going to be there for any help when I need it. And that full dependence on Krishna, that part is more important than the chapter number and the verse number and the translation and the purport. So, this requires training. Other thing, few days if you put effort, you can memorize the verse. Anybody can memorize the verse. It's not a big deal. Memorizing verses. Sometimes people say, oh, he knows all the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. As though you've gone back to the spiritual world with that 700 verses. You don't. Similarly, there are people who remember all the 18,000 verses. But there are people who doesn't know all the 18,000 verses, but they know what Bhagavatam is saying. It's in their life. It has changed them so much. Right. So, if this is not there, if this training is not there, no matter how much knowledge you have of your verses and the purport and translation, when external crisis comes, they will derail. They will fall. That's a fact. If this training is not there for the depending on Krishna, if that training is not there, simply if you have done as a karmam, whole Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything as a karmam, if you have dealt with in that way, and you may have done all the karmam side of it, but this practice hasn't happened of giving attention to Krishna inside a Antaryami, that training, if you have not done that, no matter how much you have studied and got your titles, including from Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Siddhanta, whatever bhakti you want to get, you can get all the titles. When the external circumstances becomes difficult, troublesome, you will fall. There is no doubt about it. You will fall at that time. You won't be able to survive. This is the reality. This is the reality. So, because at that time you will think their knowledge and their activities have no relationship. They studied the books, but in practical life, total failure. Then only you realize this, that his knowledge and his courses and seminars and certificates all, you can just put it in the bin. Because he didn't do the job what it was meant to do in his life. So what's the use? This is an important point to take notice of, that do not get driven away by the people who propagate the other things. Because they also don't know, you see. This is the problem. that they are also not aware that this is for life. Our life is, we are playing with our life, this is. If it's not helping us, what's the use in these things, right? This is why they say, rishis are saying to us, Vedic knowledge is directed to an individual. He should get the benefit. He should change himself. Vedic knowledge is not for the whole world to change. Vedic knowledge is targeting to the individual. He should change. If one person changes, that is a prophet. Not the whole world changes. Whole world will go like this. You can have, sometimes there will be a surge. Lot of people in the movement, there will be a lot of people doing a lot of things, and you will think, oh, movement is growing. Movement is growing, yes, I agree. But is the person growing? That question you have to ask, isn't it? Movement is growing, yes. But is the person growing? Persons all becoming debauchees, then what's the use? Movement is growing. A lot of people have joined us, but individually, where are we? Who is making that next movement? So, here you can see, that's what he was mentioning here. So, it is at that time, what it does is, you also start losing faith in these things. When you see that, when somebody who has studied all the Shastras, we say about many people like that, isn't it? Some sannyasis also, we talk, oh, he gave very good classes, very nice lecture, and he used to come and tell us everything, and so many people were following him, and one fine morning he has gone and done something, some debauch thing. And then what do you say? How did this happen? He was such a learned person, and he knew everything, all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and then he goes and does some nonsense. Why? That is why even there Maya is there. Maya is there in that also. But to get over that Maya, the process is this. That whatever we are hearing, learning from Bhagavad Gita, and when Sudha Goswami is pointing out all these things, it is to tell us that how to win over that Maya. And that is where we are failing, and that's not easy. All these things, he said, Dusta Klesha Andaralpana, he is indicating to us, this is where Markandeya Maharshi is different from us. He has taken Krishna's shelter. And therefore, he didn't get disturbed. Because he took Krishna's shelter, he didn't get upset when Indra's men came and did all that. He didn't get upset because he has taken shelter, Maya could not bother him. All those things you can notice in this Markandeya story, right. So, here, you can see that in this mentions that when you see that there is no relationship between their knowledge and their actions, we are talking about. This happened how many times? Not once. So many times it has happened. There is no proper realization. This is what is called realization. That you have succeeded in translating this knowledge into your own life. That's called realization, isn't it? So in many people's life, you will find this, that they were knowledgeable, they have studied Shastram, they had the verses all known, and they could quote any verse from anywhere, anytime, but they sometimes fall into such illusions and trip in their life. They break the principles and getting victimized by Maya. And that's the reason for that. The saying here. So, able to remain in the shelter of Antaryami in connection with Krishna, and at the same time not allowing the senses to go into sense objects. And this is the most important thing. To keep also, always, that's smarana. Smarana. There are many, many people who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam very well, and if you look at them, you won't even know that they are absorbed Bhagavatam in their life. And in their personal life, if you observe them, you will see that the Bhagavatam coming through their dealing with the world. How they deal with the world. They are not Bhagavatam speakers. They are not propagating Bhagavatam to anybody. They are sitting at home, regularly reading Srimad Bhagavatam and reflecting on that. That is the main business. One person, he says, I read one verse, if I not understood, I read it again. Then again I read it. I keep reading it again and again and again till I get all the message of that verse. And for that he refers to other commentaries. Because there are people who have, from the same Bhagavatam verses, there are so many different finer understanding of that verse. What Shukha Brahmarshi intended, there could be many things. We would know that. Unless you keep reading and thinking about it and reflecting on that. And they have absorbed it in that way. And if you speak to them, you won't even know that they are regularly reading Srimad Bhagavatam at home. But if you observe their life carefully, you can see it is coming. It is working in their life. It means that they gave importance to this side of Bhagavatam rather than memorizing the verses. They didn't remember all the verses, but they knew what Bhagavatam is talking about. When they go in to discuss any topic in the Bhagavatam, they will be able to give you much more in-depth understanding of the verse, what you would have never thought about. So, and those people will strengthen your faith. It is they who will strengthen your faith, not the one who have memorized the verses. Memorizing verses is a competition-like thing. I know more than you. So many people say like that. You know more verses than me. As though this is what matters. That. So that's all useless at the end, right? And similarly, we do other things. Somehow or the other, we have to remember Krishna, our connection with Krishna, right? Therefore, you keep the photograph at home to remember Krishna, right? Then sometimes they wear the lockets there. Sometimes they wear some kind of thread around their hands. You put the tilak on. All these things are what? To remember Krishna somehow. Remember Krishna. So, and not to forget Krishna. Isn't it? Not to forget Krishna. So, Bhagavatam is saying like that, that holy name will help to remember Krishna, and it is the easiest to process than anything else. Just to chant as much as possible. And that way, whenever there is an onslaught of these emotions and the powerful waves, you will feel protected. You feel protected. And connection with Krishna will, in this way, it will become a practice in due course. That's all. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Edo darpanam arjanam vamaha davatni nirvavanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradivada purna amrita swadanam sarvapna subanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala eda drushitava kripa bhagavan mamabhi purdeva medrishamiha janina anuraga Tranaravishuni Jena Tarorabi Saheshuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bajagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shuri Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ai Nanda Danuja Kingaram Patitam Mushame Bhavambudo Kabayatava Pada Pangajastitaduli Sadrasham Vijindaya Nayanam Gadada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadadhyagira Pulagairnijam kadavabhu prindhamagrihane bhavishyadi Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyodhuva Yadadadava vidadadulam vidomal pranamathastune vanavara Sarvastra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda. So so, what is Markandeya saying, or Sudha Goswami is saying here through Markandeya, that Markandeya has reached that state of smarana, remembering all the time, fully conscious of Krishna all the time. Therefore, that for him the world was not an issue in his dealings with the world, isn't it? So we have seen here that the various things we do, for what at the end? To remember Krishna. And that is how the photographs, the deities, the neck beads, the tilak, the shikha, all these things to bring that memory of Krishna somehow inside us. And so, whatever is possible to help in that direction, right? So, therefore, out of all these things, the most effective thing and the easiest thing is the holy name. But it's also the most difficult one. We say like that, both sides you have to look at. Why difficult? Because of our lack of understanding properly and not trying this out in life. Not trying it properly. Right? You can, holy name is easy in the sense it doesn't require much help from anybody in doing it. But it is difficult in the sense because your vasanas won't allow you to do it. It's easy in the sense externally, it is easy to execute, to chant the holy name every time, anytime, anywhere, it's possible. And to excite that memory inside, Krishna's presence there, Sandhyayami, it is the easiest thing. But it's the most difficult because our vasanas won't allow us to do so. So, but smriti or smarana, same thing, isn't it? Edaval sangha yoga abhyam sodharma parinishtaya janmalabha parapumso ande narayana smriti. Second kind of, the beginning, Shukha Brahmarshi says that edaval sangha yoga abhyam sodharma parinishtaya janmalabha parapumso ande narayana smriti. So, remembering Krishna. So, Uddhava came to Vrindavana. Krishna sent him there. 47th chapter, 46, 47. He goes there and he saw the gopis. And Krishna has told Uddhava before he left, be a little careful. You are not going to meet scholars there. You're going to meet there some devotees. And they are not devotees, not like the ordinary devotees, he said. They are little different. So be a bit careful when you deal with them, he said. When he came there to Vrindavanam, and he had his first meeting with the gopis and Radharani, then he comes back and says to Krishna, Dana Vrata Tapo Homa Tapasya Swadhyaya Samyamai. Seven things he mentions here. Danam, vratam, tapasya, homam, swadhyayam, samyamam. Danam, vrata, tapo, homai, tapaswadhyaya, samyamai. All these things for what? At the end. Shreyobhi vividaischa anyai, krishne bhaktirhi sadhyade. All that things are meant for eventually to bring bhakti in the heart to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna, that's bhakti. And that they got it. They didn't know Shastram. They didn't study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam. They didn't have any other certificate with them. They were not Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti this, Bhakti that. None of them. But they knew the goal. They had the end result was there. So this is why we have to look at it this way in the Bhagavadam. Is that result there in us? Or have we got something else? So Uddhava says, Gopi has got that, they said. Gopis have got that. Dhanam vrata tapohomai jabas swadhyaya samyamai shreyobhi vividesh chanyai krishne bhaktirhi sadhyade. It says. So Gopis got that. And everything what they did in their life was such, they were not forgetting Krishna. All the time remembering Krishna, some way or the other. Right? So initially, this marana won't come. You will have to do something for that, to create that smarana, right? And when that smarana goes away from us, to bring it back again, some ajaram, some process is required, right? And that is what gopis have said to Krishna. Gopis didn't bother too much about the verses and chapters and all that. It was not their concern. What they said to Krishna was very simple and straightforward. They said to him that their prayers, if you see the gopis' prayers, what they're saying, says to Krishna, Ahuschade nalina nabha padaravindam your memory of you, Yogeshwari. You are the Ishwara of all the yogis. We don't know anything. Abhivijinya agadha bhavadehi. Yogeshwari abhivijinya agadha bhavadehi. Samsara kuba padito taranavalambam. When we trip from our memory, from our remembrance of you, when we remember you, and if by any chance we move away from that, geham jushamabi manasi udiyal sadana, you should come and bring that memory back to us. They were asking, like, you can see here that swadhyayam samyamam, they didn't have, gopis didn't have all that. But still, their prayers to Krishna was always, ahuschade nalina navapadaravindam, yogeshware rabivijindyam akadabhodehi, samsara kuba padidotarana valambam, geham jushamavi manasudiyal sadana. That when we are, when we fall away from our memory of you, when we lose that memory, our relationship with you, by any reason, because in material existence it can happen. Even gopis are saying that. It can happen to everybody. It's always happening to us. So even they are also recognizing that they can also fall away from the Krishna consciousness. So they are saying in such situations, samsara kubam, that is falling into material life, forgetting Krishna, in other words, patita uttaranavalambam, at that time we will have to hold on to you. You are the only avalambam. Avalambam means the pillar on which we can hold on. Geham jushamabi manasi udiyal sadana. At that time we may not remember you, but you should remember us, and you should come in our heart and keep us in the right path of dharma. That's what Gopi said. We may not remember you, but you should remember, taking an advance guarantee from Krishna. This is what gopis have said. That prayer is very famous from the gopis. That asking Krishna to protect us, protect her, protect them, when they fall away from the Krishna consciousness. Manikavajagra said to Lord Shiva the same thing. Sundaramurti also said the same thing. Sundaramurti told Shiva, I am falling anyway. Never mind, I will go if I have to go. But you should protect me. I may forget you, you shouldn't forget me. It is better to take an advance guarantee like that from Krishna. And Krishna does get affected by those prayers. Krishna has looked after them also. So, for example, when we fall away from, in our life, we fall away from Krishna consciousness. And due to our prarabdham, sometimes prarabdham comes and takes control of life. You can see that all the time, how prarabdham comes in our own life, isn't it? Birthday party or something will come in life. A New Year party or Christmas party or whatever party that comes, right? That's your prarabdham, it is. That you just don't know what to do with it. Around you, everybody is expecting and demanding your time and energy to participate in their celebrations, right? So when that happens, that when the prarabdham comes like that, there should be some way of escaping from that and coming back to spiritual life again. There should be some possibility of doing that, right? But you have to feel like that, that I want my spiritual life back. That is real, this is not real. That thoughts must come at that time. If those thoughts don't come and you start thinking, oh no, this is the best time I have to enjoy life. And then for some time busy with this enjoyment, and then when one day when you are in a depressed mood, you are thinking about spiritual life. That's not good. It shouldn't be like that. What it's saying there, the mind will, due to this prarabdham, mind will take you in different directions when prarabdham comes like that, right? But we should have some inspiration from inside to do something so that we get back into the track again, into that smarana process back again, right? So, so that is how you say to get established, that dhridavrata, the word Krishna says there, that's what that means. Dhridavrata means you are so fixed up that under no circumstances you will lose your remembrance, Krishna's remembrance. You won't forget it. You won't forget Krishna at any cost, right? So Markandeya Maharshi, he has kept himself so close to Krishna like that, and therefore this moment nothing happened to him, even though all these things happened, right? So you can imagine this. In certain times this can happen, right? Because you are not fully established like that. That's why it's happening. Everybody. In devotees also. Nobody is exempted. Dhruva, example, Dhruva Maharaj, right? He himself says that. He said this to us. Dhruva is saying in the Bhagavatam, and imagine this is someone who has seen Krishna, spoken to Krishna, and Krishna gave him everything what he wanted. It is that person saying this. He is saying like this, that see, his, how would you say, Suruchi, she is his foster mother, isn't it? Actual mother is Suniti, Suruchi is his stepmother, is that the right word? I don't know. You can call it whichever way you like it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. That like Suniti and Suruchi both were wives of Uttanapada. Suniti was his mother. Suruchi was also a mother, but not she was not born from her. And she died in the forest fire. And the younger, and they were brothers, isn't it? Her son, Uttama, was his brother in that sense. Uttama died. And Dhruva got angry. Dhruva got angry. By now, even though so many things happened earlier, after Dhruva saw Krishna in the forest, Narada Maharshi gave the injunctions and instructions, and he realized and he came back. He saw Krishna. But he came back to the palace. He became the king. Uttanapada went to the forest. By now, the relationship has changed. Bhagavatam says that one who has received Krishna's mercy, even the greatest enemy will become his friend. And Suruchi has become so friendly now to Dhruva. At one time, Suruchi was the queen there. Now Suruchi, what her situation, imagine, Uttanapada has gone to the forest. And Suruchi and Uttama is just living in the Suruchi's position, and her arrogance and her ego, when she was the queen, you saw how she offended Dhruva. But because of that offense, this came back to her in the same life itself. Krishna said at that time, because of all what she has done to you, eventually, one day, she will be punished. She will go and fall into the forest fire and die in the forest. And Uttama went first for hunting. Suruchi went chasing him. And in the forest, he got into forest fire and she died there. Uttama also went missing. So Uttama didn't come back. Suruchi didn't come back. And Dhruva Maharaj, he looked at the whole situation. And he has forgotten all his previous incidents. What happened before he went to the forest, before Dhruva went to the forest. What happened, that conversation with Suruchi and all. Now they are in a good relationship. But Dhruva could not apply that knowledge properly at the time when he wanted it. Dhruva knew everything, but Dhruva could not. Even though he met Krishna, people always say like this, oh, if yes, have you seen Krishna? As though seeing Krishna is the end of spiritual life. Seeing Krishna is not end of spiritual life. Realizing self is the end of spiritual life. Often you will see people, particularly these journalists, you know, in their mind they have formed this understanding. Have you seen God? They ask that, isn't it? Where is that coming from? Because they think if you have seen God, you are there. You're there. But Bhagavatam doesn't say that. You may have seen God, but that doesn't mean that you have realized the truth still. So that happened to Dhruva, that happened to Narada Maharshi also. He saw Krishna, but again Narada Maharshi was to spend a long time in this world through his prarabdha. So like what happened was, imagine that Dhruva's situation. What happened to Dhruva? didn't happen to Markandeya. Notice that. What happened to Dhruva? Didn't happen to Markandeya. Dhruva fell. He tripped. He couldn't survive. He got upset, isn't it? And then Swayambhu Manu comes there. And Swayambhu Manu, that is his grandfather, isn't it? Uttanabhadra is his father. Uttanabhadra's father is Swayambhu Manu. His granddad comes there. And he gives instructions to Dhruva about his how Dhruva was annoyed with the yakshas. He wanted to kill all of them and all that. So, but it's not that Dhruva didn't know all these things. Dhruva knew all that. What Swayambhu Manu was telling him was known to him. But he has forgotten. He didn't come to his help when he wanted it. That's where Krishna's mercy is important. He knew everything, but if he didn't get it, help him when he wanted it. So therefore what happened? He went and killed all the yakshas. And that reaction has to come later. And Dhruva himself says that my Krishna consciousness has become very dim, he said. That's why I did these things. He says to Swayambhu Manu, when Swayambhu Manu told him that what you did was wrong thing, this is how he reacted to that. He said this, right? So, and then, Kubera comes. Swayambhu Manu comes and goes away after advising Dhruva not to do it. And then Kubera comes. Because why Kubera? Because he is the king of Yakshas. So Kubera comes and says to him, if you look at the fourth canto, you should look many things and look at, understand these personalities through their life. And because this all repeats in our own life all the time. And that's when you start the significance of that. So we look at the fourth canto, in the 12th chapter, you'll find there mentions all these things. 12th chapter, 8th verse. It says there that
Sarajarajena Varaya Chodito Dhruvo Mahabhagavato Mahamati.
He is Mahabhagavatam, who Dhruva. And that he has proved that before, hasn't he? When you think about his finances, what he did. You remember? Every month, for 3 days, the whole list there mentioned. Nice to know. And who can do penances like that? What he has done. The tapasya, what he has done, right? So, what did he do? He said that every Triratrande, this is the 8th chapter. Every 3 days, he will eat these badri fruits. Atmavrityanasa Masam Ninya Archain Harim. That was his penances, right? Then every second month, every 6 days, he will eat leaves. He will eat only leaves. Tranam Parnabhi Shirnai Kridona Bharchaid Vibhum. 6 months only it took for him. Third month, every 9 days, he will he will take water every 9 days. He just takes some water, that's all. Then fourth month, every 12 days, he was taking some air inside. And the fifth month, he was actually stopped even breathing. Pranam was completely under control. Can you imagine a penances like this? If we don't get one prasadam after our finances is finished. This is how we are. And imagine that Dhruva's strength. Huh? So this is how he performed. And it is that Dhruva we are talking about here. What does he say? He says, Mahabhagavatam, 12th chapter. Mahabhagavatam, that's the word he has used. Sarajarajena varayacho, varayacho dito
Dhruvo maha bhagavato mahamati. The Maitreya Maharshi is saying, Mahamati, highly intelligent Dhruva, and Mahabhagavatam, greatest devotee, and Dhruva was asked by Kubera, you can ask for a benediction from me, any boon, what you want from me, right? So, what did Dhruva, he says, Harao, sa vavre achalidam smriti. What happened to me before was, my smriti has moved. I forgot Krishna. Now, when Kubera asked him, this is what he asked from Kubera. That I don't want anything, but this thing I want. This is what happened to me before, that my memory failed. Means that I reacted based on my vasana. I reacted based on my vasana, that I killed all these people, and now I am suffering because of that. So you can see how targeted he was, asking Kubera. He says, Harausa vavre achalidam smritim yaya tarattayat nena durattayam thama. With that smarana of Krishna, this is what devotees will ask. Because they know, if Krishna is with you, you are safe. If Krishna is not with you, even if you have millions of dollars, what's the use? Isn't it? Even if everything else you have got in this world, if Krishna is not there, then what's that life? That is right understanding of Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva prayed to Kubera, this is what I am looking for. That's smarana. Give that to me. So that I will not, this will not happen to me again. What has happened then? Right? So then Kubera gives that blessing to Dhruva and then he leaves. So normally you will not ask from Kubera such a thing. Kubera is the wealthiest person. You will ask for money, won't you? Wealth. But here you find from, in this case, they didn't ask Kubera that thing. What he asked was, Harausa Vavre Achalitam Smriti. Achalitam Smriti means memory which will not waver, which will not shake, which will not move anymore. Achalitam Smriti Yaya Tarate Yatneena Durateyam Tama. Because with that memory, you can cross over all kinds of ignorance which normally cannot be transcended by other knowledge. With that smriti, you can do that. That means if you remember Krishna, and if you are in Krishna's shelter, then any kind of ignorance, ajnanam, ajnanavurti, all this is ajnanavurti, isn't it? To want to kill somebody, to retaliate someone, or to deal with somebody in a negative way. All this is thoughts, even is ajnanavurti it is. So that, because it's all based on the body. You remember, tamasa, moham, mahamoham, tamisram, andadamisram, the five kinds of ajnanavurti. Either tamasi is this identification with one's own body. So then other things builds up from that. All those things will never happen if this remembrance, Krishna's memory is there, that ashrayam is there. Ashrayam protects from all these things, right? So as soon as you remember Krishna, then you won't react like that. That's why Ajari Swami puts it in a different way. Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham, Shivoham. That's where it is coming from. So, Shivoham, Shivoham means Sachidananda Swarupam. I am Satya Chitta Anandam. There is no place for any of these emotions in me. I am not to be going to be get affected by any of those things. Right? So, remembering our Swarupam, Alpa Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, continuously able to be situated with that is what you are talking about. So in that case, whatever circumstances and situations change, you will be able to hold on to that without undisturbed by that. Right? You won't get annoyed, you won't get asakti, attachment won't develop, and that obstinacy that you want something like that, that will go, Veda Bhavana will go, and you will not feel that Veda Buddhi will go away from inside. So, in order that to happen, the connection with that Antaryami, Chaitanyam, Krishna, has to be strong.
and it has to be always there. And that is Markandeya Maharshi's success. So Indra heard this and thought about Markandeya Maharshi's experience, right? In a simple language to put it, that whatever happens in life, and whatever happens around us in life, whatever circumstances changes in life, we have to be able to remain in a shanti state. In the shanti state, right? Krishna has shown this in his own life in this world, when he was present here. How many times? So many times. Same thing has happened. In the rasa dance, how that is the power of this rasa dance, isn't it? Rasa dance is spoken to show to us that how Krishna could not be even beaten by Cupid, Kamadeva. Bikridam Vrajavadu Bhiridinja Vishnu. If you look at the last words, you'll find Bhaktim Param Bhagavadim Pradralagbyahamam Hrudrogamashu Apahinodi Achirena Dhiraha. That is the purpose of studying rasa dance. That one by one, Krishna is showing to us that how he is so steady that there is no question of moving inside, no movement inside. Brahma tried, the fire, Agni tried, Varuna tried, Indra tried, so many others tried, so many demons tried. Krishna is concerned, no change inside. And the rasa dance was the culmination of all that. The most difficult one to get over. Rasa Leela. And that's where Krishna, that verse Shiva Brahma Rishi has spoken. Vikriditam Vrajavadu Bhiridinja Vishnu Shraddhanidam Anishundad Bhaktim Param Bhagavadim Pradilabhya Kamam Hrudrogam. That desires, lusty desires or whatever we call that, that desires had no effect in Krishna. Hrudrogam, which was desires developing in the heart, is the heart attack. That's what causes heart attack. Hrudrogam, what is mentioned in the Bhagavadam, is not the stroke what you get, the angiogram or and these things like that. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is that the material desires, enjoying nature, that enjoying propensity in us, enjoying spirit, and that creating desires and disturbing the mind, that is called Hrudrogam. Hrudrogam, Ashu, Apahinoti. All those will go away from inside. You will become stable as a person. Achirena dhiraha. Gradually, you will become a dhira. Dhira means what Krishna says, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita. That dhira. Dhira satrana mukhyadi. So dhira. Dhira means he is not affected by illusion. Moham. Mukhyadi. Na mukhyadi. No moham will come and no illusion will come. So he, such a person is called dhira. So, which means Krishna, you can see in Krishna's dealing with the world, no fear anytime, no ragam anywhere, no dvesham anywhere, and no emotions also. Always in that peaceful shanti state. Krishna was like that. When Mahabharata war was going on, peaceful inside, no disturb. People were getting killed right, left in the center. Not at all concerned at all. Not bothering him at all. And his own grandson, Abhimanyu, was killed, not bothered, not disturbed at all. Everybody said, after all, Krishna could have done so many things. He could have looked after his grandson. Krishna says, no, it doesn't matter, he said. So, when his own grandson was killed, Abhimanyu was killed, not bothered. Then, later on, you will find that when Kamsa was killed, Angul was killed, isn't it? And also, no movement inside. No movement inside. Completely at peace with everything. And so, and when later on, Kamsa killed all the children, his brothers, isn't it? Krishna's brothers, they were all killed. Not disturbed about any of those things. In several instances, if you study all Krishna's Leela, Dashamaskandam, 10th canto, this is what you will observe all the time. There was never an instance when Krishna was lamenting or hankering after anything. Anytime mind was always in that such a stable situations, right? So that is Krishna's bhava, Bhagavad bhava. That's what it is, right? So, and one must, it is possible, one who takes shelter of that bhavam can also reach that state, right? So, keep our mind attached to Krishna there, and that will help to protect our mind from moving away from that. And if that happens, and if that relationship is established properly, in that case, what will happen is, you won't find this movement of the mind. What happened even to Dhruva? This would not happen, right? This would not happen. So, who is the independent person in this world? You talk about independence all the time, isn't it? That, and who has reached in the highest state in life, success in life, he says, that person who is doing everything for the benefit of others, one thing, for the benefit of the world, for benefit of others, and at the same time, and whatever he does is ideal for others to follow. Ideal for others to follow. That means to do that, you have to have that control over the mind. To do good to others, you need to have that control over the mind. Control over the mind in the sense that you shouldn't get emotionally affected by the circumstances. Not to become victimized by the emotions in life, right? So, that is why those who have won over the mind like that, they are the people who have reached the highest state in life. The highest state, right? So, you can see here in Markandeya Maharshi's case, even though no matter how much they have tried, still they couldn't do anything with him. And that Shandi, what he was experiencing, remained like that. So these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when they show it to us, it becomes an inspiration for us to take it in that way and understand it. This every episode in the Bhagavatam is like that. You will find very higher tattvams spoken through that. So while studying the story, what the speaker was trying to convey, and that if we can take it and make it our realization, then that is what will save us. Nothing else. No other thing. So you can see this, that these kind of stories, when it shows to us, it should become more an inspiration for us. Like Markandeya Maharshi, Swadhyayam is important. You see, he spent time in studying. He didn't waste his time. Swadhyayam is important. And similarly, controlling the senses from the world, pulling them back, and not to give importance to the worldly enjoyment so much, and able to keep attached to Krishna. All this is a part of that. That is why the three things are there. Tapasya, Swadhyayam, Samyamam. Tapasya, Swadhyayam, Samyamam. Swadhyayam for Tattvajnanam, inside. Tapasya for withdrawing from the world. Samyamam means the control over it, and able to use that Swadhyayam in life. And only one who has these things, Tapasya, Swadhyayam, Samyamam, he can go through that path without difficulty, right? Then Suda Goswami is saying there that Indra's army who came to trouble Markandeya Maharshi, when they tried to give him, disturb him, what happened was that they got into Maya. Who? Indra's people. They felt that they couldn't do anything with him, and seeing Markandeya's that steadiness in him, that even though they tried very hard, they felt that they remembered what happened before. These people were sent before to Naranarayana Rishi by Indra. So what happened was, Naranarayana Maharshi was also like Markandeya Maharshi. While performing penances, Indra thought the same thing about him and sent the these agents there. So Narayana Maharshi was so, he's Krishna himself, isn't it? So what did he do? That he laughed at them who have come to disturb his mind. When he is laughed, they thought, who had come from Indra, if he is upset with us, if he is going to curse us, in one curse, he can turn all of them into ashes. All these apsaras, Kamadeva, and the other Gandharvas who had come, they will all be lying there as ashes. Will he do that? They got fearful, and they offered obeisances to him. So he wanted to tell them, look, you are thinking you are very beautiful, aren't you? You have not seen beauty yet, saying that he's beaten his thighs. And from that thigh came Urvashi. And seeing Urvashi's beauty, those Apsaras women, they felt ashamed. They couldn't stand in front of her because she was so beautiful. And then he tells them, take Urvashi with you to your planet, to Indra, and she can stay there with you all as a memory of the whole thing. And Urvashi goes with them to the heavenly planets. This story is there in the Bhagavatam. So at that time, they were put into shame. Who? These people who had come now. They were there also. They were put into shame. They felt so ashamed after that incident that there are people who can stand even our allurements. They won't fall into it. Their strength of the mind is such that they are so steady. Naranarayana Rishi had taught this lesson to them before. Now, that Naranarayana Maharshi, that experience what they have, has happened the same thing here with Markandeya Maharshi. Same situation, same way it has happened. That's why, you said 32 words, you see. Tasseva yunjadas chittam tapaswadhyaya samyame anugrahaya avirasil Naranarayana Hari. So, you can understand why Naranarayana Rishi is happy now? You can understand why he is happy, isn't it? Because he feels someone else has done the same thing what he has done. Naturally, he wants to congratulate him. Because when you see other rishis falling everywhere, you don't feel very happy about it. Narayana Rishi felt that Markandeya Rishi has passed the test, right? And seeing that strength, he appreciated that somebody else is also following the path correctly and succeeding in that, seeing the success, right? So, and how, through the same three things, what is that? Tapasa, swadhyayam, samyamam. Tapas, swadhyaya, samyamai, what he mentions here, right? Then, that is why you will say here, that he came there, Krishna comes, Bhagavan, he says here, Avirasil Naranarayano Hari. Naranarayano Rishi is Hari himself. Krishna himself had come. And that's the next two verses. Tau Shukla Krishnau. Tau Shukla Krishnau Navakanjalochanau. Chadurbujau Ravirava Valkalambarau. Pavitrabani Ubavidagam Truvur. Kamandalum Dendamurjim Chavai Navam. Padmachamala Mudajandu Marjanam. Vedam Jasakshaltava Evarupinau. Tapattadidvarna pishangarochisha pramshuddhadhanau vibhudharashabharchidau. 33 and 34 is saying that in two verses Sudha Goswami is discussing the Narayana Rishi's Swarubam. Narayana Rishi's Swarubam. One of Narayana, one of them is white and the other one is black. Nara is white and Narayana is black. Krishna and Arjuna, they are. Krishna and Arjuna. So, Krishna and Arjuna, they are the incarnations of Narayana Narayana. It's also there in the Bhagavatam, Narayana Narayana Krishi, right? So, one white and one black, right? Nara is white and Krishna is black. And their eyes are fresh lotus flowers have opened, right? Both of them have four hands, four-handed form.
And Raura, and says here that Raurava Valkalambaram. Rauravam Valkalam, they are dressed up. Rauravam is the Krishna Mrigam's skin, deer skin. Krishna Mrigam, deer skin. Valkalam is, they got both. Valkalam is the bark of the tree, Maravuri. They are wearing both of that, right? And both of them are got Pavitram. Pavitram is what they put on their finger. And they have the thread with the Trivridam. Only three threads. You can get with many threads, isn't it? Some people put very thick ones, have you seen? To show that I am a real Brahmin. So they put... people do all sorts of things with the ignorance. Huh? But here they have only three threads. Right? Both of them have got water pot. Kamandalu. They have got a stick with them. And that one, Dandam Rujam, it doesn't have any bends, straightforward, but small one. Not big, right? Dandam, they have that. And then they have got a Padma Akshamala, a mala, a chanting beads, but it's based from lotus. lotus flower has got their little buds. From that, they have garland, they have made a mala, a garland from that. Then, Jandum Arjanam, that they have got one stick with which they will drive away all the flies and other things that comes into the body. Because they are they believe in ahimsa, non-violence. So even if there's some insects or any flies or anything comes, they will try to get rid of them from the body with this stick. Jandumarjanam. Right. Then what else is saying here? Little some kind of staff with them to do that, right? And their mood is that Vedam cha sakshal tapa eva rupino, it says. That from their impression they give it to you is that they have the full knowledge of the Vedic Shastra, Vedam, that knowledge. And Vedam cha sakshal tapa eva rupino, tapatadit varna pishangado jisha pramshuddhadano vibhudarsha bharchida. What it means is, the injunction of the Vedam, Vedavakyam, that is, they have absorbed it so well, in real life, you will see that they are following rigidly the Vedic knowledge, the Vedic Dharma. You will get the impression by seeing them, that they are very rigidly following the Shastra. Right? And as though austerities and penances personified, it says like that. Tapat tadidvarna pishangarojusha. Mean tapasa means austerities. If austerities takes a form, a personification, how that will be? When you look at them, you get that impression. That means very good at austerities and penances. Complete control on the senses, the mind and body in all levels and the speech everywhere. Such a fine control. You get that from them. And looking at them, just like lightning in the sky, they were shining. And with that form, they are saying here that tavatva dadidvarna pishanga rojusha pramshuddha dano vibhudarsha bharchido. That in this form they appeared that Nara and Narayana both came there to bless Markandeya Maharshi. Right? So, all these things, what it has spoken there, symbols, what was spoken there, has its own meaning behind it. It represents certain things in them.
Do not go just by the external explanations to that, but it has its own importance, right? But we don't know what that is. It's there. There are certain explanations, but Pavitram, for example, they are not sannyasis. They are not sannyasis in that sense. But the different symbols what they are showing, there is sannyasi symbol there, brahmachari symbols there, so many things. So all that is representing certain features of them. Similarly, the thread. Normally in the traditional sannyasam, when sannyasam taken, you cut the thread off. Not in the Vaishnava sannyasam, but in the Brahma Sampradaya, in the other sampradayams, they cut the thread off because sannyasam is finished with the karma, is all over here. Similarly, this Palmakshamala, what he is saying here, with the lotus flower seeds, with that garland, that's also not normal in the, we have tulsi beads, others have other beads, isn't it? So, all these things has its own explanations, but the speciality here is, to remember here is, it mentions there, Vedam cha sakshal. It appeared as though they are Vedam personified. That means that they are carrying Vedam in the sense that if Vedam has gone inside a person, Vedic knowledge, if it's working in someone very well, that means he's carrying Vedam, isn't it? If that knowledge is in the person. So if Vedic knowledge takes a form, means that person's life is centered around self-realization. That's what it means. That means he is advancing, so advanced in spiritual life, only then you say like this about somebody, that he is Vedam personified. That means he knows the goal of life and he knows he is close to that truth, very close to the truth. That is why it's spoken. Which means that he has complete control on his senses. Kamatyaga tapasprada. Bhagavad Gita says, Kamam Tyagam Tapas Smrita. Right? Kamatyaga Tapas Prata. So, therefore, in that state, he's saying that, and that, who says this? Krishna says. Where does he say? Ekadasha Skandam. Uddhava asked him, if you go back to this, you see that, what Uddhava says there, 11:19. I think it is 19. Uddhava asked a number of questions, isn't it? Asked him what's this, what's that and all. So Krishna is saying, you remember, that's why there, Krishna's words are important there, because Krishna says, in his opinion, he's saying, that kamabhyagam tapasasmrita, he says. The, here it is. The, in chapter 11:19, Uddhava asked a number of questions. Right? 28. Yama kadivida prokto nemo vari karshana kashama kodama krishna kati diksha dhruti prabho kim danam kim tapashavirim kim satyam radamuchyade kastyaga kim danam jeshtam koyajna kacha dakshana. It is there he will say this. Verse 37. Charity means dandanyasa param danam kamatyaga tapasmrutam, he says. You see? That tapasya means, what does tapasya means? Kamatyagam, tapasya. Krishna's definition. That if there is no desires coming anymore in your mind, you are performing penances, austerities. That is tapasya. Krishna's explanation of tapasya. Other places you hear, Hiranyaksha went to the forest to perform penances, isn't it? Dhruva went to the forest to perform penances. Narada Maharshi went to perform penances. Prajedas went to perform penances. But Krishna's definition of tapasya, I don't know what the equivalent English word, you will say austerities or you can say penances both, isn't it? We say together, austerities and penances. What that actually means, Krishna is saying, if there is no more desires coming in the mind, that is the highest tapasya, Krishna says. Kamatyaga tapasya smritam, he says.
Because Uddhava asked the question that what is tapas? You remember? 29, he is asking, Kim Danam Kim Tapa? What is tapas? Answer to that, Krishna is saying, Dandanyasa Param Danam Kamatyaga Tapas Prutam. And that was what was the situation with Naranarayana Krishi. That's what he is saying there. So that is the highest tapas. Complete desires going from inside, right? That means, after that, once Kamatyagam has come, then you will never say again, I want something in life. Right? To that stage, come. Anything. You are totally in peace with self-realization. Completely know who you are, what you are, which means the end of the desires, end of all desires. So I think we'll stop there today. We'll continue on next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. By Krishna's grace, somehow these 9 days passed without too much of a problems. That's Krishna's kindness. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Haribol.